All right, dear people, we are ready to roll here. Want to make full use of our time? Let's start with prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, we've come in from a lot of different places with a lot of different things on our mind. And I ask now that you would just clear those minds. Help us to focus on you. Lord, we're hungry for what you have for us today. So Holy Spirit, you just take control and speak to us through our brothers and sisters. And I just pray that you would use this time to draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a quick summary of when we were here. I know it's been 2 weeks, and some of y'all, like me, probably have no recollection of what happened yesterday, much less 2 weeks. So, the name of what we're talking about here has been satisfaction in God, and what a great topic to talk about. Hey, Billy.
Hey.
Good to see you, man. So, last time we were talking about some counterfeits, like, you know, rabbit trails we don't want to run down. And I just wondered if somebody might help us by reading loudly from Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2, 13. Somebody with a loud voice, just call that out. Thank you. Uh-huh. Okay, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. And that's what we've done. We've forsaken God. We haven't looked to Him for satisfaction. And we've taken off chasing all these other things that are counterfeits that will never really satisfy. And we talked a couple weeks ago about this Greek word epithumia, which is talk about our desire, but it's talk about an over-desire, and where we put things in the place of God where they shouldn't really be in our life. So what I would like to start off today is by saying that our satisfaction in God, I'm not going to put equals, but I'm going to say is directly related to the degree of transformation that we've experienced in our life. And I want you to think about your Christian life, okay? You must see the show of hands of people who have been Christians for 5 years or less, okay? How many people have been Christians for 5 to 10 years, okay? How about you've been a Christian for 10 to 20 years? Wow. Anybody like 20 to 30 years you've been a Christian? How many people have been Christians longer than 30 years? All right. That's impressive. What I want to ask you is this, though. In all those many years, how much of that time was taken up in your conversion or your salvation? How long did it take you to get saved? What do you think? I mean, there might have been a process, right, leading up to that, and that might have taken time. But the actual, how long did it take you to be born again? Yeah, almost instantaneously, right? Okay, that's an important step in our Christian life. I mean, it's a very important moment in our Christian life. But you think about that second or two that it took you to get saved, and then the rest of your Christian experience. And theologians talk about our moment of salvation, and then they talk about the rest of that time, which is our sanctification. And I just like to use the word transformation, okay? Our being transformed. You know, God loved us enough to save us right there where we were, but He also loved us enough to know that we probably needed worked on, right? And He wants to. Okay, so if you just think about how much of your life has been spent in this stage of transformation, then, you know, I kind of think that I think that this verse is important for us to look at. John 8, 31 and 32. And I wonder if somebody could read that for us in a loud voice. Thank you, Naomi.
Then Jesus said to those who believed him, "If you abide in my word, and my disciples indeed, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
All right. We've all heard that verse, right? You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But there's a, I think this can be misunderstood, because we can look at that as just an intellectual activity, like knowing the truth up here. But there's some other important words in that voice, in that verse, that I don't want to just skip over, because it's not just a matter of knowing something in your head. Can anybody look at those, the verses right before the "you'll know the truth"? And do you see anything there that should be kind of getting our attention? That would be more than just an intellectual activity. Say that again? Abide? Does it say that? Or remain, abide? Yeah, continue. Abide. And then it also talks about the word disciples, right? Which means like we're following him. You know, we're in relationship with him. And we're abiding with him. And so what I would say, my work at the Center for Intercultural Training is I'm now like a campus pastor there. And so I do a lot of the devotions with those guys. And here are people coming, and they're getting ready to lay their life down and say, just renounce everything and go to the farthest corners of the world. And it'd be easy to put those people up on a pedestal, you know, like, wow, these must be super Christians, you know. What in the world can I find to talk to about, you know, with them? How can I say share something that would be a blessing or inspiring? And what happens time after time is that instead of focusing on their head, you know, the knowledge, the knowing these truths, which many of them have studied and done seminary work and all that kind of stuff, what I find is that when I start talking about what they're actually experiencing at a heart level, that sometimes there's a disconnect there. And that happened in my life, that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so, right? I knew that from the time I was a tiny child. But you know, even though I got wonderfully saved when I was 17, for 40 years as a believer, I was living in a way that didn't really reflect that truth. And I knew it here. And we all know a lot of truth. But this, whatever this is, 15 inches from up here down to here, right? And so what I'm really wanting to focus in on today is this. I don't want to talk about what you know in your head, okay? Because I think you're probably pretty good there. If I passed out a little pop quiz, probably most people would make, you know, A's on that. But let me ask you this. The people that are closest to you and that know you best and that watch you in those good times and those bad times and when the stress hits or when you're fatigued or whatever, can I ask you what starts to manifest? What starts to come out of your life? What do you start to show? Because, you know, actions speak louder than words. And our actions can speak a lot louder than our theology. And if it comes down to looking at me and you're saying, okay, what does Ed really believe? Don't believe my words. Look at my life. And from that, and you know what? When we start to do that, what I find is we can roll up our sleeves and there's a lot of work that we can do. If it's not a written test like what I know, but it's like how I'm acting, how I'm responding, how I'm behaving. When I get down to start looking at that, that's when I can see whether the gospel just kind of parked up here in your mind, or whether the good news of God's forgiveness and grace and love and satisfaction has made it all the way down to your heart, so that it has transformed you and now you're a different person. God's so concerned about who we are, not just what we believe or what we do. He wants us to be those children of His that know Him and love Him and walk in all the riches that He has for us from the gospel. Yes, go ahead.
It's kind of like crime world. You see, crime world where, look over here, this has happened, that has never stopped while we're doing this. And you miss it. Okay, so let's just keep going. Whatever on that, but we get so busy.
Yeah.
So I can say that. I'm not against anybody in particular, but I mean, it's just we get so busy that we don't have time or make the time. Let's just say we don't make the time. We have the time to just sit and be with Him.
Yeah.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide.
Yes.
You've got to dwell at some point.
Yes, you do.
You've got to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, yeah. So I'm going to ask that question. First of all, I'm going to ask you this question. How transformed are you? I mean, people get saved, and then they sit on that fourth pew back from the front for 30 years, and they're the same person they were when they got saved. You know, they're not really growing. They're not really changing. How do you know if somebody is being transformed? How would you know?
It's kind of a deep question. Father, if you say, I am so transformed, then you're actually not that transformed. And if you say, oh, I'm not transformed at all, then you're probably not transformed.
You know, there's that verse, I think it's Jeremiah, that talks about our hearts, how our like really hard to know. It's really hard to know our own heart. I think for me, if I wanted to find out how transformed I was, I'd probably just ask Debbie. You know, get a second opinion, right? Don't take it for the person. Ask somebody that lives with you and knows you and sees you in all those moments. Could somebody look up Matthew 7, 17 through 20? Somebody else look up Luke 6, 43 and 45. And they're very parallel kind of passages, but it'd be good for us to hear these this morning. You got the Matthew? Okay, just when you got it, read it out loud. Good loud voice.
Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them.
Okay, great. Can somebody read that other one? It's very similar. Okay, go ahead.
It's from the Message.
That's fine.
It says, you don't get wormy apples off of a healthy tree, nor good apples off of a diseased tree. The health of the apple tells the health of the tree. You must begin with your own life-giving life. It's who you are, not what you say and do, that counts. Your true being brimmed over into true words and deeds.
Okay. It's not what you say. It's what you do. All right. Let me ask this question. And this one, I want you, instead of answering straight back to me, I want you to turn to somebody and talk about this for a minute while I flip the board here, okay? Turn to someone and ask, discuss this question. Why is God so interested in and concerned about our transformation? Why is that important to him? Can you turn and talk to somebody about that, and I'll get back, get some answers back. Okay, I'll do this a different way. Hey guys, I'm getting ready. If you don't have a handout sheet, and you want to just kind of come over here where you can see what we're doing on the board, I don't mean to leave anybody out, but you're welcome. Just run over. This is getting ready to get really good. All right. So I'm guessing that there's several answers to this. It's not just one answer, but what'd you come up with? Why does God care? What do you think?
That would just disgust. We're like seed. Planted in a garden.
Yeah.
God wants us to mold.
Yes. You know, that's really that's a great point. We're like a seed planted in a garden. God wants us to multiply. And there's a saying that keeps coming back to my mind again and again that says, we can teach what we know. There again, that's the head stuff. But we're going to reproduce who we are. And so God is very interested in seeing us become that person that he made us to be, that's got all this stuff flowing out of them, and then you hardly have to say very much. It's just contagious. It just splashes out on people. It's attractive, and God's kingdom grows, and he's very interested in that. So, yeah, growing the kingdom is one reason why he would want to see you transformed. What else?
People say the whole saying about how doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is insanity. Like, I think that our sin and our bad choices before we are transformed bring us a lot of pain and suffering, and they're going to continue to bring that for us if we continue to live that way. And I think God cares about us being in pain and suffering and self-inflicted pain and suffering that comes from our sin. And when we're transformed, there's less of that.
Yes. I think you've hit on something so important, and it's just, it's because God loves us. I mean, he loves us so much. And he sees us going around and bumping into walls and falling into holes and hurting each other. And if we would allow him to do that deep work in our hearts, man, it would just be his way of showing love to us, right? Did anybody else have something? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The way God intended for us to do that, then really we're just living a life that he does not approve of.
Yes. And it's kind of a slander to him, right? Like, you're supposed to be a child of God? He must not be a very good father. Right?
Yeah. And it cuts away from his glory.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a big one. That as we allow him to transform us, I mean, it's a wonderful thing when we see a miracle, right? Somebody is miraculously healed or whatever. But guys, we could be walking miracles ourselves as we just let God transform us. And he wants to so badly. He deserves that glory. Right? Doug.
We can't do the ministry without that God. fearful, we can't do this job.
Yeah.
That perfect love casts us out fear.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we have to work toward it, letting God transform us. Some of us can't get out and witness to people. But I go to the jails and the prisons and mm-hmm. places and on the street and Walmart and witness to people. Some of us can't do that
mm-hmm.
because we are praying.
Yes.
And we stand in the power of God and we do it.
Yeah, which opens up a whole nother kind of rabbit trail about, well, if we're not transformed, why not? And for me, what I would have to say is a lot of what I was dealing with in my life was painful. I mean, it was emotional wounds and stuff that had happened in my past. And you know what? I had worked hard to push that stuff down. And to go to God was like going to do surgery. Right? And I knew it would hurt and it scared me. And so let's just keep it down there. Let's just not mess with that. And so if you're doing that, you know, it's not likely that you're going to really be transformed. The other thing that I would say is in my 20s, I was just too young and ignorant. In my 30s, I was still pretty young and ignorant. In my 40s, I was still pretty ignorant. Not so young anymore. But I hit a point in my life where really I was just getting desperate for God's transformation. I was burning out. I was a basket case. And I think also humility is important in all this about transformation. For us just to admit, you know what? Could it be that there's still a little work that God wants to do in me, right? If you don't leave with anything else from this morning, that would be a great thing to just, you know, get up and say, God, you know, perhaps you still have some work that you want to do in me. And then, you know, hopefully you're smarter than I was and not get to the place where you're just desperate for that. But anyway, it's a good position to say, God, just have your way. And I can imagine I have blind spots. Show them to me and whatever it takes, you know, just please be at work. Yeah.
But I'd say the first 10, 15 years of that, at that time, now, you're dealing with dispensation of time.
Yeah.
In that time, we weren't discipled. It was all about salvation.
Yeah.
Over and over
right.
and over.
Right.
So, we weren't discipled
mm-hmm.
on how to go to the next level.
How many churches around in this county do an altar call every Sunday? And it's just salvation, salvation, salvation. And yet, what we're really needing is transformation. And we need to move on to the deeper things. All right. This next thing, I have been thinking about this for like 6 months about how to get you all to help me do this. But and so I still haven't really got it figured out. The Holy Spirit's just going to have to do this. But here's what I'm asking for help for. I'll lay it out there, and then I'm going to get people to talk and brainstorm and send people running up here to write stuff. But here's what I want us to do. You all recognize these, right? And that's what our loving Father wants for us, right? This is where we're headed. This is the goal. And not just not stuff that we're cultivating, but who we become, who we are, transformed into those things right there. So here's a question. If we're not quite there yet, or like if you turn to the other side of the coin, or like the opposite of these things, like what? Like I would love to say that I'm a loving person, but if you ask Debbie, I'll get up on a bad day and this or that. Anyway, so what I would like for us to do as a team here is brainstorm about what does it look like when we're not experiencing this. Okay? Like on our bad days or what is the opposite? And as I tried to do this little exercise myself, what I found was that I was putting stuff down like the opposite of love. Well, I put hate. Well, I don't walk around like hating people all the time. That's kind of extreme. So as you're thinking of these things, don't put just the big opposites, the really strong ones, but push yourself a little bit further to think about, like, if Brother Ed's not loving somebody, like, what would it look like when I was doing it? And you know what it could be? It could just be, I'm getting annoyed, or I'm getting frustrated, or impatient, or I'm just kind of a little more thinking about me and kind of selfish than, put, you know, helping them. You see what I'm saying? So let's not make it just the big things, but also kind of those little nuanced shades of, like, the opposites of these. And so what I'm going to just do is I'm just going to give us about 10 minutes. And what I would like to do is I would love to have y'all just tackle these. Maybe not everybody start at the beginning, some down here and around here. And we've got the markers up here. And what I would love to do is have about 5 or 6 words underneath each of these that's kind of talking about the dark side of these, the opposites, the, like, when we're not getting this right and where we would need transformation still in our life. Does that... And that's a great point. Yes, that's a great point. And so please just write them in whatever category. Like I was writing down like being afraid, okay? Or being angry. Anyway, and it went in several different places, okay? So guys, the clock's going. You got 9 minutes and 55 seconds. Let's put as many words up here as we can. Ready? Go. To avoid the rush, some of y'all that are starting to get some things, just start coming up real fast and putting some things down if you don't mind. Here you go. Good. Good. Let me get some more people. I got more markers. Come on, just start putting them in there.
We're not allowed to put spouses' names.
No names. Somebody from this side, come on down. You got 8 minutes left. Let's get them going, guys. Come on. While they're doing that, if you've not gotten a handout sheet, that's how we're going to finish up today. If you need a handout sheet, we got them, I think. Here you go. If it's hard to think about these for yourself, just think about your husband or wife, and it's probably they'll come right to you. All right. Somebody else. Here we go. Here you go. Keep them coming. You're doing great. Keep coming. You're down to about 6 minutes. Don't stop. Good work. Somebody else, come on up. Come on, y'all can be more creative than this still. Keep coming. Sylvia, you want to come write something down?
Oh, no.
Okay. Just look and see what they've got. Maybe you'll... Keep coming. You got 4 minutes. Here you go. Good, good. All right. This could be one of those where, you know, I've got a friend who... Anybody put down gossiping or criticism or judging? I wish this list was harder to come up with, but I'm afraid we're all too familiar with it, with these things. Okay, got about 2 minutes. Anybody else got a couple to throw up there? That's good, Lee. I think we need to get a record of this. I think there's something in the book of James about confessing our sins to one another. I don't know if it means writing them on the whiteboard or not. You guys, I'm really excited and thankful for the great job that you've done on this. I've spent 6 months worrying about it, and then you just did great. Just great. You know, we might want to capture this and maybe have it for our notes for next week. If somebody could get that on a, yeah. Okay, let's say that, okay, this is plenty to work with, right? I don't know if we've exhausted the topic, but you kind of see what we're working with up here, okay? So now... the last thing I want to do today is spend some time going over this handout sheet with you, which is one of the most powerful things that I get to do at CIT. And so what I'm going to do is just be very transparent with you guys about one of my issues up here, and I want to kind of walk you through this little sheet with the trees on it, and you will need something to write with. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. This, we'll just do this together, but I'm going to do it for me, and I'm going to ask each of you to do it for yourself. And so what I'm going to do is, if you'll notice on the front side, here's a tree that's got rotten fruit lying on the ground, and it starts off up at the top with this question: what am I experiencing? Okay? And for me, one of the things that I really struggle with, that I wish I didn't, was the feeling of insecurity, like comparing myself to other people and wondering if I'm good enough and trying to prove something to somebody. And so for me, I would put that word up there, insecurity, okay? Maybe that's your thing too, but, and you're welcome to put that down, but what I would encourage you to do is look up here on this board, okay? And just pick, I mean, we could do this with every one of these words maybe, but can you look up here and pick a word that would maybe be an area that you struggle with sometimes? And if you don't know what to put, just ask your wife. She'll tell you. Just pick one, all right? And maybe yours is insecurity, and you could put that. But can you write down a word for you? And we'll do this exercise, okay? So, what am I experiencing? And I've put down insecurity, and you put down whatever you're putting down, okay? Now, let me show you how this works. So, the next question is, then if that's what I'm experiencing, what might I believe about myself? Okay? So, just look at me. Don't write anything yet. But, like, for me, if I'm feeling insecure, then my answer to this one is, well, what am I feeling about myself? Well, like, there's something wrong with me. Or, I'm not worthy. Or, somehow, I'm not good enough would be what I might believe about myself. And that's producing the insecurity. Based off of the word that you picked, what would you write down? What might you be believing about yourself if you are experiencing that one word? Think about it. Jot down a couple of things. What might you be believing about yourself? And let me encourage you to just take this home and kind of reflect on it, because there may be some things you want to add to that, okay? I had a long time to think through what I've written down here. Well, the third question then, down here, what might I believe God has done? Okay, so look back up at me, and just in my example here, if I had thought I was flawed or unworthy or not good enough, then the way I answer that question, what might I believe God has done or is doing? Well, I might believe that God can't really love me, or that he doesn't want me, or that he is distant, or that he doesn't really care, or that he isn't really taking care of me, and that he might not be able to protect me, and that he won't provide for me. That's what I'm thinking about God if I'm feeling insecure. Now, it hurts me to say this. I'm being very transparent. But if I'm walking around feeling insecure, then my actions are speaking louder than my words. And I'd be right here, you know, in my mind, say, well, of course, that's not true. But here's what my actions are saying. God doesn't love me, want me. He's distant. He doesn't care. He's not taking care of me. He won't protect me. He won't provide for me. Okay? Now, look at yours. Based on what you might be saying about yourself, what does that say about God? What does that say about what you really think that God is doing? And jot down a couple of things there. okay, this bottom one on this dead, bad tree side, it's going to sound like out and out heresy. And it hurts me to even say these things with my mouth. But guess what? My life was saying this for years because of the way I acted. Not what I believed in my mind, but what I understood deep in my heart and how I acted. And here's what it says. If I believe that God was doing those things, then what I was really saying about God is that he is distant, that he's unloving, that he is uncaring, and that he rejects me. That was what my actions said. That was what my untransformed heart was saying. Okay? Take a minute, and if you're really honest and humble enough to be able to confess this, what would you put down on the bottom of yours? What might you be believing about God if those are your actions? So at the bottom of that tree, it says confession and repentance, which is really what I need to do if that's what I'm saying about God. And then the arrow that comes across, by faith. And I'm just going to go through this quickly. I'm just going to tell you all my answers up back up through the tree and let you take this and do this on your own. But listen to this. By faith, what is the truth about God? Remember, my actions have said that I believe he's distant, unloving, uncaring. He rejects me. That's tragic. But by faith, what is true? Well, he is intimately close. He is loving. He is caring. He is full of grace. He accepts me. In fact, he delights in me. Okay, so moving up the tree, then what does that say? What has God truly done? Well, he loves me. He wants me. He's close. He cares. He protects me. He provides for me. He defends me. So then, moving up, then who does God say I am? Well, I am loved. I'm forgiven. I am wanted. I'm safe. I have all I need. I am secure. And then finally, to the top of the tree, then what should I be experiencing? I should be experiencing love and acceptance and peace and security. Can you see how powerful this is if we will be honest with ourselves and look at what our hearts have and our actions have been saying, and what is it that we're really saying about God? And then repent of those things, confess them, repent them, and then begin to preach the truth to ourselves. Because the enemy's a liar, and he loves to put these lies in our life. And we may have been living from those lies for 40, 50, 60 years, but we need to speak his truth to those places, and we need to begin to let him do that wonderful, beautiful, grace-filled work of transforming us. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful this morning that you don't give up on us and that you've been following us faithfully. And you've wanted to do those things in our lives because you love us. And I ask that you would help us. This is a spirit-filled church. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to shine that light into the deep, dark corners of our hearts that we don't even know. And to reveal things to us, things that are broken and hurt, because you want to heal us and restore us and transform us. So that we become these just almost like spoil little precious children of yours that you delight in, full of these good things of love and joy and peace. We ask you to have your way in our hearts. Continue this work of transforming us into the image of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Feel free to just share this with anybody. It's you don't have to have a handout. You can draw it on a piece of paper. And it's very helpful. All right. God bless everybody.